Welcome back to Young, Dumb, and Righteous with your hosts, Nick and Philip. Today, we're kind of hoping to change things up a little bit and hopefully break things down into two smaller episodes a week. And in this case, this topic for today is going to be mostly centered around anger and trying to be kind of slow to anger, as we say, and really thinking things through. The piece of scripture I want to start off with is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 to 27. If you want to either pause the podcast or if you have your Bible already open, just go ahead and flip to that page and read with us. But it reads, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Verse 27, "Nor give a place to the devil." So in our anger, a lot of times we can get caught up in things and can cause us to sin. And for me, a lot of times I find myself actually lashing out at other people who probably don't deserve it, or on the other opposite end of the spectrum, where I end up hurting myself and just overall just having very evil thoughts and doing things that I wouldn't have had I kept my cool.
When that verse says to be angry and to do not sin, I think that anger is rooted out of passion. So anger in itself isn't the sin. When the anger is acted out in a sinful way, that's when it becomes the anger. So that makes me hop back to John 2, when Jesus was cleansing the temple. He goes into the temple, and this is what it says in John 2, verse 13. "Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables." And I don't know about you, but if you are, you know, at a restaurant and you see someone walk in and he just bends over and he starts, you know, making a whip of cords. So what was happening, he was making this long whip to whip these people out, and then began to overturn tables. And keep in mind, Jesus never sinned. Jesus never sinned. So there was an anger in him of seeing the disgrace of what was happening, like, in the Lord's home, and he never sinned. So be angry and do not sin. Here's one thing I think, me personally, I had a hard time understanding. Jesus was a kind man. He wasn't a nice man. One time somebody told me that I was just too nice. And, you know, it kind of makes me think, like, huh, I guess I am too nice. And not in a way of, like, I go out of my way to help people too much, but in a way of, like, maybe you're nice to people you shouldn't be nice to.
Oh, yeah.
And if you stand for something and you believe something and someone is outwardly opposing not only you and your beliefs, but, you know, diminishing the power of it, I think it's fair to be angry, and not in an angry way of, I'm going to cut your ear off, in the way that I can't exactly remember which disciple it was. But Jesus told that disciple, he said, that's not how we act. He said, yeah, we let the love of God do the power. And through the love, like, that's what overcomes the opposition. And it's kind of like, it almost sounds contradicting, because out of our anger, we love.
Oh, yeah. Anger is a love-based, like, trait. If you think about it, it really, we get angry because of the love that we have. Like, if somebody's talking about your family, you will get angry. Like, if they're talking down on your family, you might get angry, and that's from love.
Yeah. So, like, exactly what you said, we get angry when people talk about our mamas. Why don't we get angry when people talk about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ?
Exactly, and we should.
Why is that something that we watch every single day on social media and on TV, and that doesn't disrupt us? That should be disrupting us. That should be, our inner spirit should be like, okay, something has to be done. And not in a way of, you know, being a keyboard warrior and, you know, cussing them out, but saying, hey, like, I see there's hate in your heart. I don't think that's something that should be spread. I just want you to know Jesus loves you, and I'm sorry that you've been hurt. You've been hurt by people and not Jesus. And I know I've said that before, but that's a super, super common thing that I see amongst non-believers. They've yeah. all been hurt by somebody who was claiming to be under the name of Jesus. And one like specific situation that I've had with this, so I own a business front. I do window tinting. And in my 2.5 years in business, I've never really had someone just straight up disrespect me. Like, I'm talking like, dude, who do you think you're talking to? Like, kind of disrespect. And recently, probably 3 months ago, I was doing my taxes. And as I'm sitting in the tax office, one of my customers that had dropped his car off for the day, he was blowing my phone up. And I mean, like, cussing me out, telling me I don't know how to run a business, just all kind of really disrespectful things. And I'm just, you know, I'm kind of fuming. I'm trying really hard not to get back at him. But that's when just like the grace of God just kind of overfilled me. And I was like, okay, breathe. And then I just replied with him, I'll see you when I get to the shop. And, yep. you know, he got really quiet. He started apologizing at that moment that I said that, because he realized he was about to have to come look me in the eyes. And I was going to see if he was going to say the same things he was saying over that phone. And when he gets there, he walks in my front office at my shop, and I'm sitting down on the couch under a glow LED sign that says Jesus Saves. And he walks in and he's like, man, I'm sorry. And it was a young kid too. So I was like, all right, sit down. I just told him to sit down next to me. And it was just like a beautiful moment in which like my anger was out of love. I was like, I want to talk to this kid. I want to see where he's at. And one of the first things he said to me is, I'm a man of God also. And I said, I wasn't able to tell that. You know, I've never been treated this way by a customer, much less someone claiming to be a Christian. So that's why it's so important to be very watchful of what you say and how you're acting, because it really depicts on that person's mind of what you actually believe. And one thing that my pastor always says is, how you treat people is the most physical way to show what you truly believe about God.
Yeah.
So it was a cool thing, because it really stemmed anger. It started with anger, and then it turned into this beautiful situation in which I was able to talk to this kid about, hey, that's not how we're supposed to act as men of God. And now this is a kid that texts me all the time, and he's like, man, I really thank you for this. And when I saw that, what I saw was, I saw a 16-year-old me. And I remember being a 16-year-old, and I remember how I used to treat people. And if I were to meet him now, I would probably sit him down on the couch in my lobby and give him a talk. You know, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and I love that sign that you have up, because it's so nice, because it's like the first thing you see when you walk in. It's like bright, beautiful blue, just sign that lights up, and it says Jesus Saves. But I think a really good verse that go along with what you said there, or at least kind of a paraphrase of it, is when Jesus is passing out bread for Passover, and Peter pipes up and says, hey, you know, we're supposed to be eating with clean hands. That was like a ritual thing. They were supposed to, you know, be eating with clean hands. And Jesus tells them it's not the things we put into our bodies, but the things that come out of our hearts that matter the most. And by speaking angrily to somebody, or, you know, lashing out at somebody, you're lashing out in anger, and that comes from the heart, and that is sinful. So by you taking that situation and being able to sit that man down and say, hey, this is the way I look at things, and this is the way things should be, and being able to kind of tone that situation down and turn it into a learning moment, I think, or a teaching moment, is actually spectacular.
Yeah, and that's
not a lot of people could have done that.
Yeah, it's and exactly what happened in the beginning of that situation. I started fuming, you know, and I wanted to get back at this kid, and that was my flesh. That was the little baby in me, little baby Nick, being like, he ain't gonna talk to me like that.
Yep.
But it was just the overflowing, like, love of Jesus that was in my heart began to, like, suppress the feelings I was having. And I was like, no, listen, Nick, we're gonna be the man here, and we're gonna show this kid what you've learned. And it's crazy how it changed everything. And now this kid has referred a bunch of business to me, and I've done a bunch more work for this kid. And if I would have lashed out, what would have happened? It would have been over. It probably would have left me a bad review. And not even that's the whole deal. But, I mean, there would have been upfront cost, but the back end cost would have been, that kid would have treaded on a couple more years hating people. And not hating people, like, intentionally, but the overflow of his heart would have been hating on people because he never was actually experiencing the joy of Jesus.
That's completely.
And the one way I think of anger is it's like I've seen this, like, depiction of it, and it was like a ketchup bottle, like, with, like, a squirt top on it. And, like, that's the anger in you, is that ketchup. And as soon as you squeeze it and you squirt it out, there's no way to get it back in. It's already gone. It's all out. And one thing that changed my whole view on anger was the concept that anger spoils wisdom. So when you allow anger to take over, you're beginning to spoil everything that you know to be true and everything that you know to be right. So that's why it's so important just to be able to take those thoughts captive. The Bible says we're supposed to take every thought captive and make them obedient to Christ. And so if you can do that with your urges for your desires, you can also do that with your anger. And all these things ultimately lead to being set free.
Yeah.
And to be able to live in the true freedom that Christ has died for us to be able to live into.
Yeah, and I think the biggest message here is when you get those moments where you just get this explosive anger, or that you might be furious about a situation, if you just take the time to slow it down and be a little bit more patient and just kind of really think about the situation and think it over, and I hate to say it again, but to slow things down and really roll it over in your mind and think, why am I angry? Does it really matter? And is there a way I can turn this moment into either a teaching moment or a learning moment, and to open your mind up and open your heart up, and maybe even to look to God and to pray to Him and say, God, take this anger away from me and replace it with a form of love, or a form of teaching, or a word I can teach to this person. That would be the best way to do it. And there's a great verse that goes along with this. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29, it says, whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. Hmm. So by lashing out in anger and being furious at somebody or something, you're going to display what they call folly, or you're just going to look stupid. I have gotten so mad trying to do little projects, and I've literally, like, there's a hole in a door in my house right now because I got angry because I couldn't, this doorknob was just being ridiculous, and I punched a hole in the wall. Like, it just is what it is. But had I just taken the time to be like, you know what, let me take a step back, realize this isn't that, you know, it's not that big, I can turn this around, you know, whatever I needed to do, that hole wouldn't have been there, that thought wouldn't have went through my mind, I wouldn't have done those actions, I wouldn't have hurt myself because I ended up hurting my hand in the process. So and now that's just something I have to deal with because I got angry.
Yeah, that's like one thing I've noticed even before I started walking with the Spirit. One thing I noticed is the quickest way to tell who is the most insecure in the room is to see who gets the most upset the fastest. You can always tell there's some underlying issue, something that person hasn't figured out yet, that's creating this, like, uprooted anger. And I say all of this very humbly, because in my walk with Christ and, like, in all the changes that's been happening in me, the one thing I've noticed is I've been getting these little, like, stems of anger, and I've never in my life been an angry person, so it's been kind of an odd feeling. And exactly what you said about the hole in your wall, it makes me think of earlier. I was running late to an appointment, and I was trying to start my laundry, and for some reason, it just would not start, and you got to turn it on from your phone. The phone was, like, lagging. Man, I was getting so upset. I put a dent in the side of this. It's a public laundry room, and I punched this machine and, like, left a dent in it. And then as I'm walking out, I'm like, that's probably the stupidest thing I've ever done.
And such a waste of energy, too.
Such a waste of energy. It's almost like I just wanted to be angry about something. You know what I mean? And it's like, why do we want to choose to be angry about the smallest little things?
And you think about it too. Well, say somebody says something to you that upsets you, and then it sticks in the back of your mind all day. That's the only thing you can think about. Why are you wasting that mind space on something that somebody said when you can say, you know what? They don't know who I am. They don't know the type of person I am, but Lord knows who I am, and He loves me, and I can go to Him at any time I need to, but that person might walk out of my life tomorrow.
Yeah, and what he said, I mean, that directly relates to Romans 7, verse 19. And it says that, this is Peter speaking, he says, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." So what's happening is Peter's already been given the new heart. And out of his heart, he's not doing things that his heart wants to do and he knows is wrong. He's acting out of his flesh. Because as like a Christian, we're not yet to that point of Eden, which is being so close to God that we do not sin. And that's our ultimate goal, is to continue to grow to that point. But one thing is, like, as a new Christian, I've faced a lot is the shame and condemnation of the enemy when I don't fulfill what my heart wants. So I feel like I know it's wrong and I'll still do it. And it like casts this shame over me. And that's when, you know, you have to pray. So when, right now my church is doing a series on spiritual warfare, and it talks about how our wartime walkie-talkie is prayer. So when we want to speak to our head leader, we pray. That's what we do. That's our way of like speaking straight to the commander, getting your next steps, what you need to do about it. So in those moments, it's just so important just to close your eyes and say, "Hey God, I ask for forgiveness for what I've done. I just pray to be recentered by you and guided by you." Yeah. And then, but again, on that shame, one thing that, my disciple group leader was talking about yesterday that kind of changed my perspective on it was talking about the story of King David. And when God was in the process of changing King David from a wicked ruler into a righteous man. And even after King David had given his life to Jesus and he had received his new heart, he still acted out of flesh. There were still things that King David did that weren't out of the will of his heart and out of the will of God. But then when King David passed, what God said was that King David may go into heaven because he was a man of his own heart. And Jesus knew King David's heart. He didn't know him by his actions or what he was saying. He knew him by who he was.
You can even think about Moses. Moses lashed out in anger and struck a rock ended up spewing out water. But he was told and instructed by the Lord not to strike the rock. He was told to speak, and the rock would open. And what did he do? He got mad. He got mad because the people weren't listening to him. So what did he do? He took it and he struck the rock. In the end, that ended up being his folly. But by lashing out in anger, we do things that we don't want to do when we get angry. It's kind of like Peter said, I do the things I will not to do, or my heart doesn't want me to do, but I don't do the things that my heart wants me to do. So I think if we start listening to our hearts a little bit more in a figurative sense and doing the right thing versus, we get this, quick spurt of anger and we want to, talk really, mean to this one person. We might want to hit them, or we might want to drift around a corner and, God knows what would happen after the fact. If that happens, take that time to simmer down a little bit and to speak to the Lord and say, "Lord, please take this anger away from me and to help me through this and to think, what is a way I can channel this energy into something positive instead of channeling it into something a little bit more negative or putting somebody down or hurting somebody that you don't want to do."
Yep. And I think that all just comes down to humility and us being able to say, I'm wrong no matter what I feel. And no matter what I want to do right now, I'm wrong. God, please just take this away from me. And that all starts from humility. I think to have a successful walk with Christ, and not in a successful walk as in like receiving your salvation. Salvation is promised to all of us. When you accepted the Lord as the Lord and Savior, that's it. You're saved right then in that moment. But to be like a successful in your walk, exactly how my pastor said it Sunday, it's the difference of knowing you're saved versus thinking saved. When you can begin to think saved, that's when you can actually begin to walk out everything he has promised for us. There's no fear, no anxieties, confidence, and just love. And that's a lot of things you don't see in Christians. That's why a lot of people are turned away from the church, because it talks about this is what a Christian is, and everybody goes to the church and they don't see this. And this is things that Peter's saying he acts out of things that aren't of his heart. The more you start to act out of your heart, the more you're starting to live out the things that he has promised for you. And the one thing that he has promised for you is that you're going to be set free. And not freedom as in like you get the freedom to do any and everything you want, but the freedom to be able to have something promised to you. Because one thing you've noticed is this is a shaky world. There's not a whole lot promised to us anymore.
No, even people who give us promises break them all right. the time.
And so like in high school, you're promised if you go get a degree, you're going to get a good job. And then a lot of people quickly realize that wasn't, I mean, it happened for a lot of people, but it wasn't a true promise because it didn't happen for everybody. But he promises freedom. He promises us a life full of love. And that's the one thing that, you know, that's the key to it all. Because you can have everything in the world, but if you don't have love, you're not actually going to be able to experience it. And, you know, the one thing that me and Philip are just talking about is humans don't understand what love is. Like, Jesus is the one true definition of love. And in previous relationships, that's something I've experienced in trying to act out what I thought love was. And it wasn't something I was ever able to fully experience in everyday life until I actually started to walk with the Spirit and sacrifice things that I wasn't, you know, previously willing to give up. Because one thing is like, it's not a sacrifice if it doesn't make you uncomfortable. You know, there's going to be things in your life that you're not going to want to get rid of.
No.
You know, but that, like I said in the last episode, that's part of that pruning experience. When you start to walk with the Spirit, he starts to prune out parts of your life that sometimes you don't want them to go.
No.
But it's part of his plan, and he sees the ultimate vision of what's best for you. And that's why it's all important just to be trusting in his plan.
Yeah, and I can't remember the verse exactly off the top of my head, but every now and then you have to take that instead of like, to prune or whatever and to take things out of your life. Sometimes you have to pluck that eye out, that wandering eye that is going to continue to lead you down a bad path, whether that be a group of friends that aren't a good influence on you, whether that be a particular environment that you shouldn't be around that you know is bad for you. Those are the things that you need to take out of your life and to refocus. Now, if you can help those people, then we 100% recommend helping those people. But if you know there's no help for them and you know that they're only going to continue to take you back and to drag you away, then it's better to get away from those things than to stay in that, to stay down that path.
And exactly how he's talking about how you need to help the person, but at a certain point, you do have to cut them off. So that kind of just relates to the parable of the fig tree. When the disciple was asking Jesus, since this fig tree isn't producing fruits, are we to cut it down? And what Jesus said was to fertilize it, give it manure, tend to it for a year. And then if the tree doesn't continue to produce fruits, then cut it down. And when I read that, it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know like the specifics of the timeline as far as, I mean, maybe that's what it is a year. Maybe we're supposed to work on this non fruit bearing trees for a year, and then not producing, that's when we have to cut them down.
Cut it out. And I think you're exactly right on that. And unfortunately, there are a lot of things in the Bible that are definitive. This is how it is. And there are a lot of things that are very figurative in the Bible. And unfortunately, it's one of those things. Maybe it is a year. Maybe it's 30 days. Who knows? Maybe it's a lifetime. But at the end of the day, you can only help somebody so much. And that's just the unfortunate part of things. But I do want to leave us off with one more verse. There in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 20, it reads, "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." So I think that kind of wraps up or kind of gives a whole central view of what we've gone over so far. And the fact that by lashing out in anger or kind of just not sticking with your new heart and trying to go with things that are just emotions and letting your emotions control you by lashing out on those things, you're not producing the righteous self that you could be. You're going down a bad path.
So, I mean, today we just want to encourage you guys to, when you feel those feelings that you feel are overbearing, give it to Him. You know, just open your heart and say, God, this isn't of my heart, and I know this isn't of your heart. I just pray that you would take this and fill me with your presence. And in that moment, I want you guys to know that God promised when you ask for that to be taken, it's gone.
Yeah.
And that's one thing, you know, it's kind of hard to understand because we want to think about it for a minute. But when you ask Him to take it, it's gone. You're now set free, and you are now back in the presence of Him.
Yeah.
And that's the gracious Father. You know, every single time we slip and fall, we ask for forgiveness. He says, okay, you're forgiven. Right back at my right hand.
Yep. Every single time. And it's truly amazing. I think I read, and I'm not probably not going to do this verse very, very much justice, but there was a verse I had read where it said, for all the things that you ask for, you shall receive, or something along those lines. So if there's something that you want from God or you need from Him, He'll give it to you. It may not be on your timeline, but it's going to be on His. So if he knows that it's going to better you or make you a better person, He'll give it to you. And if 100%, He'll take that anger away if He knows you're going to misplace the energy from it. If you want God to turn your anger into happiness, then He'll turn it into happiness. But you have to allow Him to do those things, and you have to go to Him, and you have to get into the Word, and you have to pray to Him to let those things happen. And to ultimately change, you have to understand that being angry is always going to happen, but what you do with that anger is ultimately what leads you down, or what can keep you from what you really want to do.
Right. So we've been, as Christians, we've been gifted with the tools needed to be able to have this successful walk. So what I want to tell you is use the walkie-talkie. It's right at your hip. You can use that at any second. You can get that command at any moment you need to. Don't diminish the power of prayer, because with faith, like, anything is made possible. So if you have the faith and you're speaking directly to the creator of the universe, don't diminish what can actually happen. You know, there's people that can, you know, pray over an injury and it can instantly be healed. And it's through the power of Jesus, and they're speaking the name of Jesus over that. And it's by the faith of that person that they were healed. And that's kind of back to the story of when Jesus was in the house doing the healings, and the friend was in the bed that couldn't get through the door, and the friends took the roof off and lowered him down. And by the friend's faith, he was saved, and he was healed, and he was forgiven. So just want to remind you guys, there's power in prayer.
100%.
No matter how overwhelming you think the thoughts are, give it to God. He'll take it.
That's completely right. Continue to pray, everybody. We definitely encourage that, and continue to open up your Bible and to learn and open your mind, open your hearts, and keep your changed heart. If you're a saved person, please continue to walk down the path that your new heart wants you to go down. But we thank everybody that's made it this far. We, like I said, this is kind of a new format for us, and we thank every single one of you. You guys are a blessing.
Peace out. Love y'all.